If you're Christian, then you should be in a community that is regularly gathered around Jesus and His Word.
This is Family Policy Matters Focus on Faith Edition with Thomas Graham, Pastor Outreach Director for NC Family.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Focus on Faith edition of Family Policy Matters, the weekly podcast and radio program of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. We're right in the midst of the holiday season, as you all know, and I certainly hope that in all the hustle and bustle, each of us are taking time for some all-important rest, but even more importantly, perhaps, to celebrate in the beautiful glory of this season. I'm sure many of us notice an uptick in the activities of the church this time of year, and not just an increase in activity, but also in the number of attendees at services. Well, today I'm excited to have Joe Carter here to help us explore why it is so important for us as practicing Christians to prioritize church attendance throughout the entire year. Now, Joe Carter is an editor for the Gospel Coalition. He's the editor of the NIV Life Hacks Bible and also author of the forthcoming book, The Life and Faith, Field Guide for Parents. He recently wrote an article exploring a new Pew Research survey on church attendance that is entitled, Why Christians Don't Go to Church and Why They Must. Joe Carter, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you on the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me on.
On this program, we'd like to focus on the personal aspect of how faith and public life intersect. So would you give us a brief introduction on how you came to be a man of faith and what has motivated your work in this realm?
Well, I came to Christ as a young boy, and I grew up in a family of believers. I went to church every Sunday when I was a child. But somewhere along my teen years, I stopped going to church. In my adult life, or most of my early 30s, I probably didn't go to church that often. And I realize now I was a very nominal Christian. But I remained a nominal Christian because, like a lot of Americans, I thought all I needed was Jesus, and that Christ's church, His bride, was optional. And it wasn't until I got back into church that I began to understand that if I'm not locking arms with other brothers and sisters, I'm probably not following Christ at all.
Joe, that's just great. And I couldn't agree more. As a pastor for 30-plus years myself, I've come to really value and appreciate so much the body of Christ and recognize the importance of belonging to the body of Christ. But as we begin to explore this topic of church attendance, tell us about Pew's recent findings about how, where, when, and why Americans attend religious services. Would you please?
Well, a new Pew Research survey finds that the overwhelming reason why people attend church is because they want to feel closer to God. But the reason they stay away from church are often a lot more complicated. About one-third of all Americans don't go just because they're unbelievers. They just don't believe anything at all, so they don't attend any kind of religious services. But a lot of people who do believe, including a lot of Christians, also don't attend regularly. And the main reason non-churchgoers give for not attending worship services is because they say they practice their faith in other ways. And almost half of evangelicals in this category say that this is the most important reason for them not going to church. And the next most common reason, and about one-third of evangelicals say this is why they don't go, is because they haven't found a church or house of worship they like. So it's mostly about preferences and what they think is best for them.
What do you think, Joe, are the primary factors that are motivating religious worship decisions and behaviors among Americans today? Perhaps you could expand on that.
Well, I think all these factors can be lumped into under the category of what's called expressive individualism. And expressive individualism is the idea that each one of us has our own way of realizing our humanity. And it's our right and our duty to express that, our authentic individual self, however we choose, and nobody else can tell us how to live, or they can't impose that on us. Now, many Christians don't want to hear this, but this is the same motivation that underlies movements like transgenderism or the homosexual rights movement.
Right.
That's the same reason they're given for not going to church. The person confused about the gender identity is being told by secular society, you have to be who you are. You can't let other people define you. And that's also what Christians who don't go to church are saying. They don't want some institution telling them how they are expected to conform to their life or their faith. They don't want to be told they're expected to submit to church elders. The command of Hebrews 13:17, to have confidence in the elders, submit to authority, that's deeply offensive to most Americans. They just don't like that. And so it offends them to think that God may have appointed some fallible human being to tell them how they can and cannot express their own identity.
So then let's talk about the atmosphere of a church community. We know how impactful it can be on the decision by newcomers to return to a church. What can we do as active members of our churches then, Joe, to create a more attractive atmosphere? And should that even be a concern of ours?
I think the first thing that we can do to make church more attractive is to love the people who are already there. As Jesus said in the book of John, by this all people will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And so what do newcomers see when they come in on Sunday morning? Does it look like a family reunion where everybody's excited to see each other? Or do they see us rushing past each other to get to the parking lot so we can go to lunch after the service is over? We often assume that all newcomers just kind of pay attention to how we treat them. You know, we should certainly greet them and warmly and welcome them with open arms. But people who have been to church before kind of know that's how people treat visitors. What they really want to see is how we treat each other, because that's going to be, if they stick around, that's going to have, we're going to treat them in the long run. If we don't love each other, it shows that we're just, all we care about is getting the newcomers in and welcoming them up until the point they can start giving the tithe and checking, you know, putting them on rolls. And after that, we're going to be in concern as we are with other people. So I think it really has an effect on how newcomers see us.
Amen. Joe, there has been a good deal of research and discussion in recent years about the desire younger generations have to encounter a more robust and perhaps even more intellectual and challenging faith in churches. Why do you think this is, and how can churches give young people the experience of faith that they're really seeking?
I think a lot of them are turning to church because they run out of options. Outside the church, there are just few institutions that take them seriously or challenge them intellectually. Almost everywhere they turn, they're treated as if they're watching reality TV. And, you know, that's certainly true in the political realm, obviously, but it's even infected our universities. You can take classes now on reality TV shows like Keeping Up with the Kardashians at Ivy League colleges. So it's just not treated as intellectual beings anymore. There are a lot of churches, and I think a growing number of them, that have remained committed to the intellectually rigorous faith, and they're realizing that's the way to truly attract young people nowadays, because young people want to be challenged. Many of them are going to college, they're studying computer science or economics or some other rigorous field. They don't want to come to church and be dumbed down after they're as if they can't handle it. And even those who don't pursue higher education are reading books, or binge watching TV series that are very complex and in-depth. They require sustained attention, so they can handle complexity. And when it comes to matters of faith, we just need to communicate clearly and avoid obscurity, but we don't need to dumb it down. We don't need to pre-chew the food for them. They're smart, and their intelligence needs to be respected. And I think when we do that, we'll attract them to our churches.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a radio show and podcast from NC Family. You can sign up to receive an updated podcast each week on iTunes or any podcast app. To listen to the show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
Joe Carter, with respect to the church that you attend in Virginia there, what sort of percentage of your overall demographic would be this millennial generation, for example, college age?
Well, almost all of them are under 40 years old. I'm 49. I'm one of the oldest people in the church. And a lot of people are coming straight out of college, or they're moving to the D.C. area to take a job, to work in the government or in the tech industry. And they're just very intelligent people. And when they come to church, they come with hard questions. They don't want to just be given pat answers that, that challenges us as pastors to really to work harder to be up to speed ourselves on how do we answer these questions.
Indeed. And I think, you know, when these young people come and they have probably more questions than we can even imagine, to be able to be in a position to address those questions, those inquiries that they're making about faith, about God's kingdom and so forth, what an honor, what a privilege to be able to be in that position, to be a spokesperson on behalf of kingdom truths. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And what I found is people don't expect you to have all the answers right off the tip of your tongue. A lot of times I have to tell them, I don't know the answer to your question right now. Give me a couple of days, I'll research it and get back to you. And they really respect that, and they appreciate it. It's not they couldn't find the answer themselves, but they trust me to find where to go to find the right answers to answer the problem. So pastors shouldn't feel like they have to have, you know, all this knowledge in their head at the moment's notice. They just need to be honest with their people and tell them, here, I'll find out the answers for you, and we'll get back to you, and we'll help you with whatever you're going through right now to answer the questions you have. And that's really, I think, what this generation needs. They need people to respect them enough to say, here, I'll help you, guide you on your faith as part of your intellectual journey.
Excellent. Joe, I think all across our listening audience now, there are a whole bunch of pastors that are probably just breathing a great big sigh of relief hearing you say that they don't have to be the answer man with their head filled with all this this fabulous knowledge and be able to dispense it at any given moment in time. That's great, brother. So thank you for that. Hey, you have written that while it's not necessary to attend church to be a Christian, those who don't attend probably aren't Christian. Now, I got to ask, is that too harsh, do you think, or is that a truth that we need to speak more boldly about?
I think we need to say it boldly. Otherwise, we're misleading people into believing they're Christians when they're really not. If you're Christian, then you should be in a community that is regularly gathered around Jesus and his word. Of course, there are exceptions to this rule. There are many believers in Muslim countries that may not have a church to go to. They're shut-ins who have no way to gather with others. But for the rest of us, for those who are able-bodied and living in America, we just don't have an excuse why we can't gather together and worship Christ with Christ's bride.
Mm. Well, that's stating it quite plainly, and I think that you're right. We do need to be able to speak about this more boldly. I think because oftentimes people are searching for excuses just to be, lazy, for one thing, with respect to their Christian life, and the church leadership has a responsibility to help get them out of any kind of a lazy, laissez-faire approach to living the Christian life. Wouldn't you agree?
So, I mean, it's when I was, when I grew up in Texas, Sunday was reserved for church.
Sure.
And nowadays, Sundays, you have these sports leagues on Sundays that the kids are, parents are taking their kids to sports. And if you can take your kids to sports, you can come to church. You can find a way to get them ready and to bring them to service and worship God. I got a daughter who's 24, and, that age, they always find something else they want to do on Sunday morning. But if you start them off when they're younger, and they may fall away for a while, but they'll return to church longer, just like I did. That
indeed.
You plant that seed, and it will grow later in life.
Hey, Joe, what is the biblical mandate regarding church attendance and membership, and why is it so important to be part of that community?
Well, a lot of nominal Christians think they're off the hook since there's no single verse that directly states, thou shalt attend church. But it's clear that the expectation in every letter of the New Testament assumes Christians are members of local churches. For example, earlier I mentioned the command in Hebrews to submit to one's pastors. In the book of James, it tells us that if we're sick, we should go to our pastors and have them pray over us. And how can we do that if we don't even have pastors? How can we follow any of the numerous other similar commands if we are not part of a church? Scripture just makes it clear that the only way we can be obedient to Jesus and become more like him is through regularly attending church, because that's the only way we can follow the commands he has related to the local church.
So we're just about out of time for this week, Joe. I'd like to take a few more minutes, but we are limited here. But before we go, where do you recommend listeners who are not currently regular church attendees, where do you recommend that they begin their search to find a community of believers to join and become part of?
Well, at the Gospel Coalition, we have a church directory. We can find search for churches in your area. And on the website of most every denomination, such as the Southern Baptist Convention, the Presbyterian Church in America, you can find a way to search for churches in your area based on those denominations. Another great way is to simply ask people on social media. And don't ask whether it has a good Sunday school program. Ask if the preaching is gospel-centered.
Mm.
And don't ask if they have great worship music. Ask if the people of the church love one another.
Mm.
Make it clear to people that what you're seeking is not to join a social group that will allow you to express your individual preferences. You want to find a community where you can grow to be more like Jesus.
Yes, yes. Well said. Well, Joe, listen, thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters today and for your witness and encouragement to each of us to join and engage in the community that is the body of Christ. So if people wanted to get to know more about what you're offering there at the Gospel Coalition, where should they go to find you online?
I just go to the Gospel Coalition. I write twice a week, so you can usually find my stuff anytime on the homepage.
Oh, great. Just go to the Gospel Coalition. Is that .com or .org?
I'm sorry, .com.
.com. Okay, very good. Well, I'm sure our listeners are going to be tuning in and checking you all out. Thank you again, Joe, and God bless you for all that you're working to do in the body of Christ today.
You have been listening to Family Policy Matters, a weekly radio show and podcast from NC Family. To listen to the show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org. and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.